Welcome to the Professional Insights Podcast. Thanks very much, everyone, for tuning in. My name is Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
We have Josh Bond not here today because he's under the weather, and myself, Trevor Lindy.
He has stomach cramps. I guess that's what he tells us. We personally think he's got like some rare disease to all of our listeners. So send
my money's on Hooky. Doesn't isn't Annalisa home on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, or is it the other way around that she's off on Fridays and
excuse me, Mondays? And I don't know.
I had a lawyer signing with him yesterday, and he couldn't be there.
Oh,
yeah, well, he had to do it virtually because he had to sign one of the things with him. So we were at the office, and John did it, and he couldn't be there at all.
So again, briefly, thank you very much to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard. We really appreciate it. I guess I wanted a little bit of a debrief. We'll just make this like a 20-minute episode just based on our previous episode with Grant LaFleche. You know, and I think it's important that we do a little bit of a debrief. So I guess, Trevor, just let's make a note that this is going to go, this is going to follow the Grant LaFleche podcast. So for anyone that's listening or watching us, like Grant and I get along fairly well. We're not best friends. We're not like, you know, I would just call him a good acquaintance. There's things that I disagree with him on that we all on this panel disagree with him on. Or any of the case may be. So anyone that's listening, don't take anything that Grant and I were sparring back and forth. Trust me, I am not taking it personally. I love a great debate. I love going at it with somebody based on facts and based on opinions.
And for record, he wasn't taking it personally either.
No. But so. Some people might have perceived that.
Yeah.
But let's call the elephant out in the room. And the elephant out of the room is basically he's getting death threats reporting the news. One, people could say, and it could be argued, he is a columnist and I think he does a good job on reporting the facts of COVID, and his opinion is fairly down the center on a lot of these things. And yeah, you may not agree with it. And there's a bunch of decisions that I and us on the panel disagree with on some of Section 22 orders and all this kind of stuff, which we'll tackle later on. But hey, if I was getting death threats in my job, or Trevor, or Jeff, you'd be a little bit more sensitive too. Let's be honest.
Sure.
And if you're, we've had podcasts on Jeff. You've kind of gotten passionate about purple bricks. And Trevor, you've gotten passionate about
discount brokerages.
Discount brokerages. And Josh, make it at home legal will kit or whatever the case may be.
And Robinhood and
hey, the beauty of those platforms is I keep getting proven right over and over and over again. The amount of money people have lost, like thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars just based on the GameStop thing alone is just absolutely hilarious.
That'd be a good one to do right there too, the GameStop.
Because we'll do another one. Yeah, I'll do one. But that being said, I have no problem with where my line of questioning was coming from. Is that I find that, and Grant is correct when he said it. Unfortunately, holding the government to account and making them follow up on a report or whatever the case may be, is just not news that people want to read 9 times out of 10 under any other circumstance.
People just want clickbait nowadays. That's it.
They do.
That's it.
Which is again why I've completely deleted my Facebook account and I'm like this close to deleting my Twitter account. I have no need for, I don't have a TikTok, I don't have a Snapchat, I don't have any of these, you know, Pinterest or any of that crap. I literally pay for my news and, you know, there's some forms of publications that I pay for more than others. One being Bloomberg only because of the business I'm in. I need more market-based updates as opposed to daily news updates. But that's $400 a year that I pay for that willfully. And I just think that people, to your point, Trevor, before we started recording, he's getting death threats for reporting the news. Like, think about that for a second.
Well, him and Hergy.
And Hergy, right? Like,
they're trying to protect people's best interests, you know, and in today's society, they're just getting...
By no means is this statement being accepting of the death threats against Hergy. People misunderstood. So specifically, like what Grant was saying in the last episode, people misunderstood that Hergy was the one making the decision. So people took that and went and attacked him because of it.
To be fair, that's because a local MPP said that Hergy made the decision.
Yep. Sam Ursluth, or however you pronounce his last name.
Well, he's your MPP.
No, he's not.
You're Niagara West, are you not?
No, I'm not.
Or you're Niagara Center.
I'm, Niagara Center.
You're not full.
Yeah,
not
no, I've got Birch.
Okay. So I just, you're right. And so they heard that and they completely piled on and I didn't know that because like when an MPP says, no, Hergy made the decision, well, who am I? I get my news from reliable sources. So when an MPP of the sitting government says, Hergy made the decision, why would I think otherwise?
Yeah.
Right? Like when Dr. Teresa Tam, and I will again put my hand up and say, I was wrong, but I was wrong because I was led down the path of ignorance. When Dr. Teresa Tam turned around and said, we have no data on a respiratory virus that masks are going to help. And then there is Jeff's wife from Taiwan wearing masks. And I asked it on a podcast, why is your wife wearing a mask? Coming at it from a cultural perspective, potentially, because that's way more acceptable in Asia than it is here. But two, from a racism perspective, huge. That's where I was coming from as a concern for your kids and for your wife, because that just puts a target and only because I know a couple of my Asian Canadian friends that have been ruthlessly targeted because when this first pandemic began, because they looked Chinese, and that was the rhetoric that was being spread. But why would I think anything else when the chief medical officer of Canada is telling me not to wear masks in April? Why would I question her, right? Because I'm not a sheep, but I'm also not an epidemiologist. So I'm going to go with what, and then it turns out just in the last 2 weeks, I don't know if you guys have read this, the reason that statement was made was because a bureaucrat turned down millions of N95 masks being shipped to Canada because, and I quote, that wasn't the priority at the time. And what happened was there was a run on N95 masks as healthcare workers. And so that was a strategy initially to buy time to ramp up the PPE so that people wouldn't drain the shelves and healthcare workers would be left up the creek without a paddle.
Well, and earlier on too, we also had Ford making statements like, listen, yeah, you know what, masks, people want to wear them, but leave them for our healthcare professionals. You stay home. If you don't need to be out, don't buy the masks, stay home, leave them for our healthcare professionals because we're in a shortage, right? That was provincially, that was federally, that was internationally, there was a shortage because the suppliers we're only able to produce so many because the demand wasn't there and, you know, is what it is.
Yep. So I think that is why I'm, I get a bit passionate about it. On top of that, my wife is a COVID-19 contact tracer at another regional health area, not Niagara. And they've gone down the road of more of a mental health social worker perspective to be that COVID-19 contract tracer because, and I rightfully agree with them, the last thing people want is a call from HR on when you're coming back to work when you've just dealt with COVID-19. Kristen, my wife, has a way better way of navigating those waters from a counseling and mental health perspective. And it's come to bear fruit for that organization. I just think that in the debrief that I want people to realize that, you know, we're going to have Grant on again. And
maybe that time we'll talk about Joe Rogan.
Yeah, maybe we'll. But I agree, but it's not like we're not going to have him on again or you know, have bad blood towards him or anything.
He's a great source of news and reporting. You know, giving him another avenue to spread his voice and his word from the research that he's done.
He changed my mind on how important journalists are to keep the government accountable. And I never really thought of it that way. And now he's kind of my source of Niagara information. So whenever I want to see anything that's going on that's legit, I go right to Grant's Rants and on Twitter. So yeah. I love having Facebook still. I like Twitter. I like all that. I know it's a lot of clickbait, but I also want to know my enemies. So that's why I keep all that stuff on there too. And I like to keep in touch.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. You're both more in a massive retail area where you kind of need
I very much walked away from it. I'm still on it, but I, like so many others, addicted to social media, right? You get on it and you go down the rabbit hole and it's super easy if it's on your phone to just click and go through it, right? And, you know, just further and further down the rabbit hole, 5 minutes turns into 45 minutes.
Yes.
Right? I'm on Twitter more than multiple times a day. And so for me, you know, I don't know what it was. I don't know, you know, letting go of the addiction, we'll call it, once a day that I look now and really don't give it any other time than that.
Yeah. Like, I think by the end of this, I don't know when I'm going to get off Twitter, but I will. I think it's just a matter of I'll be on LinkedIn, which is a business, you know, like, so, you know, if you needed any of my posts, I'll be there. And I'll be on Instagram, but literally it's only going to be family and friends, like close family and friends that are going to be able to follow me on Instagram purely because of pictures of my kids. And I just really don't want that out on the universe. It's and in this pandemic right now, Instagram has actually been great from allowing my both sets of grandparents to see the kids.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been able to see the kids that, you know, all that much. So it's being able to interact that way. That's been good. But other than that, I don't get my news from there and I just don't care. But then on top of that, people need to realize too, and I think maybe we can end it after this comment, but it's just basically why I got off is because the negatives just completely outweigh the positives. And I know of, and they will not be named, people that were a part of that group on Facebook that Grant referenced that started getting phone calls from now Niagara Regional Police and initially from, you know, Grant LaFleche and the different news outlets, and started getting pulled in to this discussion that they never wanted to be a part of. That they initially joined just to have a robust discussion about, you know, the metrics and the lockdowns and the what have you. And they're starting to really regret that decision because the, you know, they're starting to get pulled in and they're just like, this was never my intention. So anyway, it's just something that needs to be said, I hope. Anyway, I don't know, Jeff, do you have anything else to say on that or
about social media?
Social media, reporting on news, like
social media. I do see going down the rabbit hole a lot. I find it very positive, to be honest. I try not to pay attention to negative stuff, but I also like to pay attention to who's got a crazy opinion on some stuff, because there's some different people, I'll say, on Facebook to be politically correct, and I like to know who they are so I can be a little bit more tempered when I talk to them.
But keep a little more distance when you have to?
Well, I just... Just take it with a grain of salt.
See, I already know who those people are because I've just started unfollowing them.
See, I don't unfollow them. My wife does the same thing. I like to know.
You know what? I had to, because it was bringing me to a very negative place.
Yeah, same here.
It really was. I would get caught down the rabbit hole. I would click, like, good example would be, I would see a story on Facebook. Let's say it was a St. Catherine Standard story. And I'd read the story. I had very catchy headline. I'd read the story, and then I would be stuck in the rabbit hole, and I'd be looking at the comments. And like Grant alluded to in our last episode, though I think maybe it was me that alluded to it, a lot of people that are commenting on these are commenting solely based on the headline. On the title of the story. They didn't take the time to read the stupid story just to get your facts. And the battle that these people, and I just, again, very negative place that it was bringing me to, that I had to start. It was one of two things. It was delete it altogether, or start unfollowing people. And because, yes, it can be used as a valuable business tool, I decided I was better off sticking with it, but distancing myself from it, unfollowing those crazies. And it,
well, I mean, like, and I think my initial lesson is when I started posting financial articles in 2015, 2016. And I had a buddy of mine who I still talk to, basically make a comment purely on the headline. And it was about the divestation of GM shares and how the federal government lost, you know, let's say $30 billion or $300, whatever the amount was, I can't remember. But my buddy comments, see, you know, Harper government did this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, you did not read the full story. You read the headline. You didn't read the full story. It caused a storm between a couple of GM workers that, because my family comes from the General Motors side, and I get a call saying, Brandon, you got to better put this debate to bed because it's kind of ticking some people off at the plant. Because that bailout that was done in 2010, 2009, saved thousands and tens of thousands of jobs. And that is what the article actually came and vetted out and actually flushed out. And it also admitted that the income tax that the federal government would receive from these high-paying jobs far outweighed the loss that they took on the stocks. But that story was never communicated, to your point, Trevor. It was only the headline.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the comments on people, it was just, they just were not reading the article whatsoever.
You got it. Far too often. It's unfortunate.
Yep. Well, on that note, I will wrap this up. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening, and to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard. Are you gonna insert a Josh Bond thing?
Yeah, I'll grab an audio clip of his and him saying his magic line.
Okay, perfect. All right, thanks everyone. Please share and care. Take care.
Help us help you stay informed.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.